On today's Compassion Radio,
we want something that's going to be extremely adaptable for our purposes and able to change in a moment's notice, because we want to be whatever God desires for this place to be. And what it is today is not what it's going to be tomorrow.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Compassion Radio. You know that we're at our best when we bring you to the front lines of faith. And today's no exception. This front line just happens to be a lot closer to home. Today we take you back to Nowell, Missouri for another insightful interview with the intrepid missionary family of Josh and Lauren Manning. In just the past 5 years, they've seen more of humanity than most missionaries will see in a lifetime. You see, a virtual United Nations has camped out along the banks of the Elk River, just north of the Arkansas border, in some of the most beautiful scenery in the entire country. The story of how it all happened is fascinating, and it keeps getting more interesting with each visit. I hope you'll stick around for the next 25 minutes and share a cup of coffee with us around the Mannings table. Friends, I'm back with the Mannings today, and I'm just thrilled to have this opportunity once again to get an update on the ministry, because we've been focusing on the work here in Nowell, Missouri. People that subscribe to the Compassion Radio newsletter know more about that. So I want to welcome you both back. Lauren, Josh, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Yeah, thank you.
The two of you are, of course, a stellar example of stepping in and stepping up. God obviously dumped the whole world on you, and you did the work, and we've admired it from afar. We finally got a chance to sit down with you right after we got back from China.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the thing that really rattled my brain was that I'd just been overseas to see what God can do when the Word of God gets put in hands. And I walk in, and you walk in with a box of new Bibles for the Micronesian church that was just starting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And handed all those out the same day. It was like getting warmed and rattled all at the same time. Because here we are seeing the same issue of people right here in America experiencing the Word of God in their heart language for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
That's
exciting.
Powerful. And the church is growing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's growing, but it's growing in funny ways.
Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, what we're doing is we're adding services. My service is Karen in English, and what we've added is service in Spanish, which is a total different church, total different pastor, and another service, of course, which you just mentioned, in Chukis, and that's the exclusive language it's in. And so what you have now is four languages and three different services going, and so in our little town, that's pretty substantial accomplishment.
Yeah. It's a small town.
Sure.
But in a town that's like less than 2,000 people to start with, the sign hasn't changed a lot in the past few years.
Oh, yeah. The sign pretty much stays the same. This is a town of about 1,900 people.
But there's a whole bunch of more people that have suddenly crowded in.
Mm-hmm. And so we're a town that has 32 nations of birth in a total of 1,800 people. So you're talking about a lot of diversity in a small package.
And for those who don't know Nowell, Missouri, which I would imagine many people listening to this program have never heard of the place, we are almost directly south of Joplin, Missouri, southwest corner of the state, beautiful country, a lovely little river valley through here, which is very destination-oriented for water sports. I saw hundreds of people floating down the river today because it's holiday weekend. But it's also a nowheresville when it comes to economics, and you've been isolated for a very long time. Perfect dumping ground for international refugees and people of need. And opportunity, because there's so many of these chicken processing plants in the area that bring us our meals every day. If you go through a supermarket pretty much anywhere in mid-America, you've probably seen a chicken that came through this part of the country.
Absolutely. It's the major industry in this area. It's what's brought the diversity. But truthfully, there is no other industry really in this county, in this area, other than the poultry.
And it seems to be disproportionately staffed by immigrants, partly because they're hardworking.
Yes.
And partly because there's a bit of a attitude, I suppose, with older generations that have lived here all this time. And that kind of inertia stops them from being more enterprising somewhat.
I agree.
But you are stepping out in a whole new kind of energy, which is spiritual. And you've decided not to settle for this kind of entitlement attitude of the culture you grew up in. You and your wife have stepped into something very big and very eternal. That is to see God win the nations to him because he's brought the nations to you. And you've been very brave in that. I've been very proud of you for that. And of course, we're excited to be ministering with you. And Lauren, let me ask you about what it was like, again, for you to step in with your husband into something like this.
God was working on our hearts individually about 5 years ago, and then he brought our hearts together in missions and ministry soon after that, and we knew that we would be doing something for him. We never imagined it would be 15 miles from where we lived. And so as we moved to town, 15 minutes away, we moved here, and it's really been a joy and an honor and an adventure every Sunday to serve here in this little town that's really home to us. This is our home.
And your kids treat the entire town like they're extended cousins.
True, I guess that could be, yeah, that's true. That's true, yes.
And not because you're all related physically, but
no.
You have a kind of a spiritual root together mm-hmm. that God is planting and growing something new in this town that you've all bought into this.
Mm-hmm, true.
And so this kind of church I'm seeing, it's International Fellowship. Mm-hmm. You and I talked by phone a few weeks ago, Josh, about how powerful Mother's Day was because you were searching for that common touch point mm-hmm. culturally. Yeah. Was there something that all the cultures that you deal with could identify with and therefore start creating some new tradition? And you did that through the Mother's Day celebration because every culture seemed to have an analog to that holiday in their own culture.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
What are the kinds of touch points are you finding that are common between all these cultures?
It's a continual challenge because the cultures are so different. Our commonality is Christ. Mm-hmm. To be blunt, there feels like sometimes that's the only commonality. Because, you know, still after a period of time, so many of the adults especially haven't learned language. Mm-hmm. And my language skills are poor at best of learning other languages.
You're not so bad at English.
I do halfway decent in English, and that's not my only language. Yeah. But at any rate, and so it's a challenge to find places where we do intersect. Food is always something because we're Baptist and we like to eat a lot.
Yeah.
And so those kind of things have really the type of things that work is social interactions with food and holidays.
We talked about the hospitality aspect of food last time we talked, but you went beyond that. You said casseroles are spiritual warfare.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, that breaks down barriers on the spiritual level as well. Something about bringing something into your body. I think that's why we lose some of the power of the Lord's Supper. Hmm. We treat it like it's a little token mm-hmm. when we know that, historically speaking, when the Lord's Supper happened, it was part of a week-long feast. And Jesus said, "This one in my memory." Mm-hmm. And they spent the entire evening doing this together. So what kind of communion do you all do now that you know really helps people connect across cultural lines?
We do the traditional way our church does communion. Once again, the little token, which I don't think represents it well. Mm-hmm. But what we are able to do is when we have meals together, it's accomplishing some of that same purpose. Mm-hmm. Our Spanish service, they had about half dozen churches represented. They were having a special event, and they had a big meal afterwards. Well, everyone's invited. Hey, if there's food, people's going to show up. And you get to spend time together and hang out together. Mm-hmm. Next Saturday, as we have our block party, there's going to be food involved. I mean, even if you can't relate on many levels with someone, everyone eats. And you can spend that time together.
The gospel of comfort food.
Absolutely.
Okay, Lauren, what does hospitality mean for you? Obviously, in ministry couples, especially in small towns, a lot of the responsibility for hospitality falls to the wife or the person who's not necessarily in the pulpit full time.
So true.
And your husband is constantly pulpiting because he's moving between churches, between audiences, and some have translators, some don't. You're always on.
Yes.
But you are too, Lauren, in mm-hmm. ways that you believe God's called you to do. What does hospitality mean for you?
Okay. So an example is this week, a lady from our church just passed her citizenship test. She got a letter in the mail that gave her the date of basically the ceremony when she will swear allegiance to America or be sworn in. What would the phrase
probably
be?
A swearing in ceremony.
A swearing in ceremony.
That sounds good.
Yeah, a swearing in ceremony. And she brought it to me to read to her what the requirements are for her to bring this letter, dress up, bring friends, etc. Walks right in. Says, also, we brought supper for you. Hmm. So they brought us Karen food and cooked on our stove, and my comfort is not. Yes. Having a lot of people in our place uninvited at my stove, in my cabinets looking for bowls. Mm-hmm. So as you can see on our wall here, I have a memory verse hung up. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with, keyword being glad and sincere hearts.
And yes, I'm literally physically looking at that stone. Yeah.
From Acts.
Acts 2, 4
through 6. Talking about the first church. And that is a physical reminder to me to say, I can be glad in this. I can be welcoming in this. Even though the introversion in my heart is, this is not my first idea of comfort.
You know, my wife and I have been working our way through the book of Acts in a series we've been doing on Mondays. And it had not occurred to me when I'm reading that, that may not have been something that was easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
When you first read it, it's like, this is their attitude. Mm. That everyone was happy to be together. Maybe they weren't. Maybe there was a lot of different strata in life that the leadership spiritually had to be, we need to cross this border with people that we don't think are like ourselves and make it home for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're making people feel at home, but you're making yourself, or at least committing yourself to the process of being at home with them.
I'm committed. It's not always easy, and our nature is not to have people surrounding us homing through our items, but here we are, and we're going to do it.
And how was the meal?
I loved it. I mean, I was kind of surprised. I'm like eating tiny little bites at a time, thinking, oh, wait, and taking bigger bites. It was good. It was like a garlic noodle thing. Mm. Pretty good. So, yeah. And then I made potato soup that they tried, and they were alarmed at potatoes and cheese mixed together. But they loved it, too, so we had a meal together.
Friends, I don't really need to remind you of this, but we're living in momentous times. The kind of big history-making events that we'll be telling our grandkids about. What I probably should remind you of, however, is that times like these have a very special place in the heart of God. He knows how the suffering and hate increases in times like these. That's why he built the church. Since the time of the resurrection, the church was there every time an empire collapsed, a war was waged, a persecution was faced, a pandemic was endured. And every single time, the body of Christ grew. In fact, it thrived. They didn't run away and hide. You also know that the what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day, we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. Faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you, with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
So you're making people feel at home, but you're making yourself, or at least committing yourself, to the process of being at home with them.
I'm committed. It's not always easy, and our nature is not to have people surrounding us homing through our items. But here we are, and we're going to do it.
And how was the meal?
I loved it. I mean, I was kind of surprised. I'm like eating tiny little bites at a time, thinking, oh, wait, and taking bigger bites. It was good. It was like a garlic noodle thing. Mm. Pretty good. So, yeah. And then I made potato soup that they tried, and they were alarmed at potatoes and cheese mixed together. But they loved it, too, so we had a meal together.
Okay, so hospitality for you has been about experimentalism. Dabbing your toe in the pool of hospitality, so to speak.
Kind of, yeah.
And then when God comes into that and gives you more courage to do the next thing, what do you think God's growing you in hospitality?
I think you're more likely to let things that's happening around you be okay.
Yeah.
Because it's been a challenge.
It's been extremely challenging. And I feel like every day I'm growing because you never know who's going to text or call or message or walk in your front door unannounced. And you just kind of have to roll with it.
Well, how about this story? One time I was preaching, and while I was preaching, someone came over to the house, tried on your clothes, and goes back into the church.
No, and put on some of my jeans and said they fit perfectly. And then this little a little boy handed me some candy, and he said, "Do you want candy? I just got this from your house." I'm like, "I'll eat my own candy." Okay. Yeah, the cultural shocks are amazing. But
okay, so your bubble's been expanded, whether you like it or not.
It's been popped. Yes. Oh, boy. Yeah.
The reason we're sitting in our living room, and the reason we have blinds on these windows, because our record was 7 children watching us eat dinner while we were sitting at the table here.
Now, I've had that experience in other countries.
Yeah.
Where you are the cause celeb. Like, who are these strange people in our town?
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, on the windowsill.
Yes.
Like a Kilroy drawing or something.
Yes.
Noses up there and just staring at you like puppies. It's unnerving at first because you're wondering, what are they expecting to see?
I know.
Right.
And they don't have something they expect to see. They're just there to see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you have that now in your own town.
Uh-huh.
How do you conquer that? Do you walk out there on the porch and have them sit in your lap? Or what do you do to make that connection so these kids honor you, not just stay curious about you?
So our kids are all vital in that, of making relationships and bringing different cultures. Like, we've had Muslim kids in our home. We've had Apache kids in our home. We've had Asian kids in our home.
Buddhist
kids in our home. And our daughter, Emma, is a brave little witness. She'll have conversations that I don't think I would have had at 14 with people of different beliefs. And so I think our kids have been instrumental in helping with the comfort of all that.
And they're helping you too, I suppose.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
This is an update program of sorts,
okay,
because I'm stopping by to see what's happened and transpired since we were around last time. We were deeply moved by our time with you last time around. Sandy and I got to see these exciting convergence of themes for us as a ministry happen right here in Old Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of stuff's transpired since, just in the past few weeks or so. You had a massive storm that just blew through suddenly, and that severe weather has caused a lot of havoc in the town. I noticed when I was driving in today that there was trees down all along the road, back along the Elk River. What's happened down here?
It was straight-line winds, and it came along suddenly. There was no tornado siren, anything of that sort. But there was a significant amount of damage in town. A lot of trees down. At least a couple of businesses lost a portion of their roofs or more.
Mm-hmm. You have, too. Your house has got a tarp on it, and so does this church.
Yes. Likelihood is we'll end up with a new roof on the church and the house. We're waiting for insurance and to do their thing. But the town as a whole struggled a lot with it, especially with a significant number of refugee folks who don't have the contacts to call the good old boy with a chainsaw down the road and things of that sort. And so we got a lot of outside help from Convoy of Hope and places like that to come in and help with some of our English class students and our community and my house, too, for that matter. So we've been blessed to have a lot of good people helping.
Mm-hmm. Good. I came to town to the music of chainsaws today, too. So
still working?
I imagine so. The whole town's still...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were without
it's,
power.
It's tremendously cleaned up from, you know, you're seeing after days of work. This town was pretty beat up there for several days.
Mm-hmm.
And you all have enough of a history of seeing God do things that in some ways you probably weren't surprised much.
Uh-huh.
Stuff would come up. What was your first response when this happened to this town? Being such a short span of time, it wasn't like you had a lot of time of warning and were buckling down.
We were largely worrying about our house initially. I mean, we had trees going down beside us. We made sure our cars were not crushed that fell on our carport. Little silly things like that. The second response, though, was I think it showed kind of the heart of my kids, too.
Oh, yeah.
The kids and I went out with flashlights, and we went up and down the streets and seen where we helped neighbors and dragged limbs out of the way and stuff that, you know, a kid could help with that night. And it was the natural thing for my kids to do. And for me, that was an extremely encouraging thing because that was my kids' response. You know, but then after that, it's a lot of trying to help the community. And so we've been distributing toiletries. We have trash bags, things of that sort. We've been distributing as a church to help the community as well.
the gift that we had pledged to you for your ministry here. Imagine you probably have to kind of reprioritize some of those usages.
That's true.
No, I was not expecting to be helping you buy chainsaws, and that may be the next thing you have to stockpile. But we were thinking specifically about more Somali Bibles for you. Could you talk more last time we were together about how important it was for you to be ready for the next opportunity that God gives you to reach out to some of the hardest to reach people in the world that just happened to be coming to your town? And for the new sign, which I got to see over there.
Yes.
It's a permanent temporary sign.
Well, it's intentional for that. It is. We have a sign that is Velcroed on. And it looks very professional, and you don't even realize it's Velcroed on from a distance, but it lists our three services, and we want it to remain that way, because when God provides the opportunity for the next service, if we're reaching an African group or reaching a different Pacific Island group or whatever it is, we can yank it off in a moment's notice and remake it. Mm-hmm. And we want to have that kind of ability to adapt.
And as much as I admire the creativity that goes in with some of the messaging that's on the neon signs that a lot of churches love to put up, I do think this one here with the Velcro on the back has more eternal power, I think, than some of the best messaging put on these well-lit signs in big churches and big cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want something that's going to be extremely adaptable for our purposes and able to change in a moment's notice, because we want to be whatever God desires for this place to be.
Yes.
And what it is today is not what it's going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Chukis group with just a few days' notice, and all of a sudden we have service meeting, and that's how we want to be able to operate.
You've shown yourself to be a good papa to a lot of these people, and a big brother to many others, and you speak so highly of your translator families and how much they have meant to you and loved you. Lauren, when you have ministry in this church, both of you reach out to everybody. Do you find yourself gravitating more towards certain people? Are you spending more time with the women of the church or with the children? Where is your sweet spot in ministry here?
So the women, I would say, and also the older youth girls, we take them to the choir ministry in Neosho, where they're learning hymns of the faith, new and old, on our travels there weekly during parts of the year. Not right now, but during parts of the year. We spend an hour one way, an hour another, just getting to know the girls and being involved with their lives as they share with us.
Do you like taking them places so you can have those talks?
Yeah, definitely.
She's also our resident driving instructor.
Three of our ladies in the church are now licensed drivers.
Yay.
Yes.
And so
it's a huge accomplishment.
Hasn't been jumping up yet?
No.
We were excited that they got their license, though.
That's cool. What do you hope will happen in the face of the current challenges and the financial hit the town's taken from the silly storm that came through, looking at 2020, what's God putting on your radar?
My passion without plan has been we've needed a place to house people.
Yeah.
We've needed a place for temporary housing for new converts that don't have a safe place to be.
Is it a safety issue for people from every people group that's in this town?
No.
Did they make the conversion?
Certain ones, and especially coming from the Islamic groups. Other groups have less of a challenge for them personally if they convert. And so when we've had opportunities, there has been times that people have needed a safe place to go. We've also had a need for youth groups, things of that sort. My other two churches that meet in my building, the two ethnic pastors, are both looking for housing right now. A temporary housing would help tremendously in that.
And there's not much new building going on in this town.
No, this is a very, a lot of rundown areas of this town, and housing is at a premium. And so we've been having a passion and desire for coming up with some kind of safe house, some kind of place that we could house people at a moment's notice.
And transitions of all sorts.
Yes.
And you're looking at some property next door. I know that you're kind of dreaming things and believing that God will make it possible.
No plans yet, but the prayerful hope is that we have something that could work in the future.
I think you can see by now why the Mannings have become some of our favorite people. There's more to this report coming up on tomorrow's broadcast. Our plan at Compassion Radio for 2020 and for the years to come is to make this a safe place to come learn the truth about missional living in the 21st century, and sometimes to talk about the hard things that need to be addressed if the kingdom is to flourish right here at home. It's going to take a lot of brave and humble people like Josh and Lauren Manning to bring the gospel to the millions right here in our own country who don't have a clue yet that God truly loves them with an everlasting passion, that He can forgive and heal, and restore and rebuild lives for eternity. God is still transforming lives in the here and now and changing futures one heart at a time. Perhaps one of those amazing transformation stories is you. We'd love to hear about it. I hope you'll take seriously my invitation to reach out to us. Together, we can tell the great things that God is doing in this generation. Here's my direct email, which you can use anytime, bramfloria@compassionradio.com. To learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, compassionradio.com. Our toll-free number is Mandarin Business Hours Pacific Time at 1-800-868-2478. If you get voicemail, just leave a full message and we will call you back as soon as the office is open. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Come back and join us for tomorrow's Compassion Radio.